Imagine running a brick and mortar store where like nearly 68% of the people who look at your window display just get exactly what they need and walk away without ever coming inside.
I mean, that sounds like a nightmare for the owner, right?
Oh, completely. But according to new data, that is exactly what is happening to the internet right now.
Which, forces a complete rethink of why we even bother building those window displays in the first place.
Okay. Let's unpack this because you've probably noticed it in your own life lately. You ask Google for like a quick recipe substitute, or you check the score of a game, or maybe you try to understand some complex term for work.
And you rarely have to actually click a link anymore.
Exactly. I mean, Google used to act like this matchmaker. It would hand you a list of websites, basically giving you their phone numbers and saying, ah, here, you figure it out.
Right, the classic 10 blue links.
Yeah, exactly. But now, it's acting like this overly helpful assistant that runs ahead, reads all the websites for you, synthesizes the information, and just, blurts out the answer before you can even open a door.
It really is wild when you think about it.
So today we are going deep into a comprehensive guide from Credify on zero-click searches. We're going to explore how Google's 2026 AI-first landscape actually operates. Because even though those clicks are disappearing, the opportunities to build a brand or share knowledge or just stay visible, they haven't vanished. They've just changed shape.
What's fascinating here is the psychological shift this requires from all of us. I mean, we spent over two decades conditioned to value the traffic economy.
Right, where clicks were the ultimate currency.
Exactly. If eyeballs weren't landing on your specific web page, you were failing. But the Credify guide argues that we've transitioned into a visibility and trust economy. This isn't the death of SEO, like, some people are claiming. It is a fundamental rewiring of how value is exchanged online.
So that 68% number I mentioned at the top, that comes from recent research by SparkToro.
Which is a huge number.
It's massive. More than two-thirds of the time, someone types a query into Google, gets the answer directly from the results page, and just closes the tab or locks their phone. No clicks at all.
And that behavior is entirely driven by how the modern search page is constructed now. Like, the most dominant feature today is the AI overview or AI mode.
Where the generative AI reads the top results and writes that custom summary right at the very top.
Right, exactly. But alongside that, you still have featured snippets pulling paragraphs directly from sites. You have knowledge panels on the right displaying brand info, local packs showing a map, and like three nearby businesses.
Not to mention all the widgets, weather forecasts, currency converters,
Yeah, the
calculators.
user just gets immediate resolution.
Which makes total sense from a user perspective, right? I mean, if I just want to know what temperature water boils at, I don't want to scroll through a 2,000-word blog post about someone's childhood memories of making tea.
Just to find a number.
Right. I just want 212 degrees Fahrenheit. But the speed at which this AI took over feels almost whiplash-inducing.
Well, it feels sudden, but if you look at the research timeline, Google has actually been training us for this for over a decade.
Wait, really? Over a decade.
Yeah, I mean, back in 2014, they introduced featured snippets. That was the first time they consistently pulled the answer out of a link and put it right on the main page.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize it started that long ago.
Yeah, and then in 2018, they expanded rich results. In 2021 came passage ranking, which let their system index and pull specific paragraphs from deep within a page.
So they were basically teaching the machine how to hunt for the exact answer.
Exactly. That laid the structural groundwork for 2024, which was the massive rollout of AI overviews. And that brings us right up to today's 2026 AI-first search experience. It's been a slow, deliberate boiling of the frog to keep the user on Google's platform.
Okay, let's talk about the mechanics of how that AI overview actually pulls that information, because it's not just copying and pasting, is it?
No, not at all. It's reading and synthesizing. It's using large language models, which essentially work by predicting the next most logical word or token based on vast amounts of training data.
So it's basically doing super advanced math.
Pretty much. When the AI scans the search results, it maps the relationships between words using vector mathematics. It literally converts concepts into numbers to find proximity.
That is so wild.
It really is. It's looking for high probability answers that directly address the user's prompt. So it grabs factual fragments from multiple trusted sources and it knits them together into a coherent summary.
Okay, wait, let me play devil's advocate here. If I'm a small bakery and someone searches for my hours and Google just tells them I close at 5 p.m. right there on the search page, I don't get the website visit,
Right.
which means I don't get them to see the pop-up for my new holiday catering menu. Isn't this AI just like, like completely cannibalizing my cross-selling opportunities.
That is the exact panic-gripping content creators and business owners right now. You are absolutely losing the controlled environment of your own website.
Right, because for simple informational queries, organic click-through rates have just plummeted.
They really have, and it creates this massive attribution problem. Let's say a user discovers your bakery because Google's AI overview cited your expertise on sourdough starters.
Okay.
They see your name, they trust the tip, and they close the tab. Zero clicks. But 3 weeks later, they need a cake. So they search your bakery's name directly and place an order.
Oh, I see. And on my analytics dashboard, that just looks like a direct brand search.
Exactly.
I have zero idea that the AI overview is what initially introduced them to me. The silent introduction completely gets lost.
Which requires a completely different way of measuring success, something we'll definitely get into shortly. But the flip side of that lost click is the sheer scale of the visibility.
Because you're right at the top of the page.
Right. Appearing in an AI overview puts your brand in front of a massive audience. Essentially endorsed by the most trusted search engine in the world.
Yeah, that credibility is huge.
It is. And Credify's findings highlight that businesses focusing on helpful, experience-led content are surviving this shift beautifully. They're building long-term credibility, which leads to those future direct searches, rather than just chasing cheap clicks with low-quality content.
So if you're listening to this and prepping for a marketing meeting or just trying to get your own project seen and you're thinking, why would I bother writing an article if Google is just going to steal the answer? You're not alone.
It's a very common frustration.
Right. The whole return on investment for creating content is just being flipped on its head. We are moving from a world that values just getting someone to cross the threshold of your website to a world that values being the trusted source the AI relies on. Here's where it gets really interesting.
Because trust is the new conversion metric. The goal isn't just ranking a blue link on page one anymore. It's becoming the foundational truth that the AI engine cannot afford to ignore when it builds those summaries.
But if Google's AI is this picky about trust, how does a machine actually measure something as human as trustworthiness when it scans my page? I mean, let's talk about how we actually build content that the AI chooses to highlight.
Well, it starts with simplicity, which often seems counterintuitive.
Yeah, we tend to think sounding smart means using really complex vocabulary.
Exactly. But remember how we discussed LLMs using vector mathematics to map relationships between words?
The concepts turned into numbers thing.
Right. When you use complex, jargon-heavy, meandering text, you introduce mathematical noise. The AI struggles to extract a clean answer. The highest-performing pages in a zero-click world are shockingly simple to read.
The Credify guide gives a brilliant example of this using the term SEO. A terrible, noisy definition would be, let me read it here. SEO is a digital marketing strategy that involves various optimization techniques designed to synergize with algorithmic paradigms.
I mean, that is just corporate word salad.
It really is.
It forces the AI to expend way too much computational energy just figuring out what you're actually saying.
So a much better mathematically clean definition is simply, what is SEO? SEO is the process of improving your website so it ranks higher on Google and attracts more organic traffic.
Boom. Simple.
Right. You ask the main question, you answer it directly and immediately, and then you support it with clear headings and short paragraphs.
And that clear structure feeds directly into Google's core framework for evaluating quality, which is known as EET.
Experience, expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness.
You got it. AI is fantastic at summarizing existing, agreed-upon facts.
Mm.
But it cannot generate original human experience.
Because it hasn't lived.
Exactly. It hasn't run a bakery. It hasn't tested marketing campaigns.
Okay.
It can only regurgitate what we feed it.
So to beat the AI, you basically have to offer what it can't summarize. You have to provide the friction of reality.
The friction of reality. I love that phrase.
Yeah, like real-world case studies, original research, screenshots of your actual work, even genuine failures and the messy lessons you learn from them.
Because when every generic article on a topic says the exact same thing, the AI has absolutely no reason to single yours out. Credify explicitly notes that their team focuses heavily on practical advice derived from real-world execution.
Which is why specific content formats absolutely dominate zero-click results, right?
Oh, 100%. How-to guides work because they break complex actions into sequential, actionable steps.
And FAQs directly mirror the user's conversational query.
Yes. And comparison tables are particularly powerful. LLMs mathematically prefer extracting data from a rigid, organized grid rather than hunting through a sprawling paragraph.
That makes total sense. And checklists are highly scannable, and statistics or original research add instant, undeniable credibility.
They do.
It really feels like the days of padding a recipe blog with a 3,000-word story about a Tuscan vacation just to hit an arbitrary word count are completely over.
Oh, we are well past the era of the word count. The AI is hunting for the clearest, most authoritative answer that provides genuine, irreplaceable value.
Okay, but even the most human-sounding, experience-led story is useless if Google's crawler gets confused while reading it. We have to translate this rich human experience into machine-readable signals.
Right, you have to speak the machine's language.
Exactly. So how do we bridge that technical gap?
Well, that brings us to building topical authority. In the past, you might write one definitive 5,000-word guide on a topic, let's say technical SEO, and that single post could rank well for a specific keyword.
And you were done.
Right. But today, one isolated blog post rarely establishes the trust required for an AI overview. Google wants to know you are an expert in the entire field.
It's like proving you didn't just memorize one fact for a pop quiz, but you actually understand the entire curriculum.
That curriculum analogy is spot on.
You need to surround that main guide with a web of interconnected content.
Exactly. To prove you have the technical SEO, you need supporting articles on schema markup, on Core Web Vitals, on crawl budgets, on-site architecture. All of these pages linking together tell the AI, hey, this entity deeply understands this entire ecosystem.
Let's actually pause and define a couple of those for anyone who isn't living in the SEO trenches every day. So crawl budget basically means Google's bots only have so much time and processing power to spend scanning your site on any given day.
Right, they don't have infinite time.
Exactly. So if your site architecture is a messy maze of broken links, the bot uses up its budget and leaves before finding your best content.
Yep.
And Core Web Vitals is just Google's technical way of measuring how fast and smooth your page loads for a user.
Which are both critical technical foundations.
Mm.
But the most direct way to help the machine understand your content is through schema markup. Yeah. Think of schema as a behind-the-scenes translator for search engines.
Okay, I like to think of schema markup like labeling the ingredients in a massive commercial pantry for a blindfolded chef.
Okay, I like where this is going.
Right, so the AI is the chef. Without labels, it has to open every jar, smell it, and guess if it's salt or sugar, which obviously takes processing power. Right. So schema is the invisible code you add to your site that slaps a giant, unmistakable label on the jar. It explicitly tells the crawler, this block of text is a frequently asked question, or this list is a step-by-step how-to, or this is an article published by this specific organization.
That is a perfect way to visualize it.
Yeah.
And while schema doesn't magically guarantee you a spot in an AI overview, it removes all the guesswork. It actively lowers the computational cost for the AI to understand your page.
Make easy for them.
Exactly. And that clarity is crucial when we talk about search intent, which is understanding what the user actually wants to accomplish in that exact moment.
The Credify guide uses a CRM software example that I think nails this distinction between just hunting for keywords and actually understanding intent.
Let's hear it.
So if someone searches, what is CRM, customer relationship management, their search intent is purely informational.
Right, a classic zero-click scenario.
Exactly. Google's AI serves up the definition, the user gets it, and they leave.
However, if someone searches best CRM for small business, the intent completely shifts to commercial.
They are comparing options.
Right. They're likely ready to pull out a credit card. They don't want a generic definition. They want deep analysis, feature comparisons, user reviews. They actually want to click through to read more.
So you use the informational pages to build trust and capture that zero-click visibility, and you use the commercial pages to offer deep enough value that they literally have to click through.
Exactly.
But listening to all this, it sounds like you can't just exist quietly on your own isolated website anymore to make this work.
No. SEO no longer exists in a vacuum. Because trust is the ultimate ranking factor now, you have to build an off-platform brand.
What do you mean by off-platform?
Well, think about it. If an AI overview gives a user an answer and cites two different websites as the sources at the bottom, the user is going to click the brand they already recognize.
Oh, for sure.
So earning mentions from reputable sites, publishing on YouTube, being active on LinkedIn, building an email list, all of these activities drive branded searches. people start typing your company name directly into Google.
And the AI sees that search volume.
It does.
It recognizes that humans are actively seeking you out, which acts as this massive trust signal, making the AI more likely to cite you as a source in the first place.
It creates a beautiful feedback loop of authority.
Okay, so let's assume we are doing all this correctly. We are writing clear, mathematically clean definitions. We have the human friction of real case studies. We organized our digital pantry with schema markup, and we are building a brand on LinkedIn.
Sounds like a solid strategy.
But how do we actually know it's working? I mean, if the traditional dashboard showing page views and click-throughs is essentially lying to us now, how do we measure the unmeasurable?
We have to migrate our focus entirely to zero-click metrics.
Okay, what's first?
The first and most important is impressions. Even if a user doesn't click, how many times is your content physically appearing in front of people on the search results page?
Because that is raw brand awareness.
Exactly.
Second on the guide's checklist is branded searches, which we just touched on. Like, are more people searching for your company name this month than last month?
Right, because that proves the silent introduction of the AI overview is actually sticking in people's minds.
What else?
We also need to track assisted conversions. This metric, which you can find in most analytics tools, helps you see if an organic search interaction played a role early in a customer's journey.
Even if their final click before buying was from, like, an email or a direct link.
Precisely. And we must monitor share of voice and AI citations. Basically, are you being referenced by the AI more frequently than your main competitors?
So to get this data, the guide recommends a specific stack of tools. Google Search Console is non-negotiable for seeing those raw impressions.
Right.
And you need GA4 Google Analytics 4 for the assisted conversions and time on page data. And you really need third-party tools like SEMrush and RFs to measure that broader share of voice across the web.
But having the tools is one thing. Avoiding the common pitfalls is another.
Oh, yeah. What's the biggest mistake you see?
The most frequent mistake people make today is trying to fight AI with AI.
Oh, like just having a bot write everything.
Exactly. They fire up a chatbot, ask it to write a generic 1,000-word article summarizing a topic, and just publish it.
Which makes zero sense. I mean, if you use AI to just summarize what's already on the internet, Google's AI has absolutely no reason to feature you. You are offering a slightly worse version of the exact job it is already doing natively.
It's an automatic fail.
Yeah.
Another major trap is chasing high-volume keywords blindly.
Right.
You might see a keyword gets 100,000 searches a month and spend weeks optimizing for it, completely ignoring that 99% of those searches end in a zero-click AI answer because it's a simple informational query.
You have to know the intent. And the final trap is the publish and pray method. The Credify source emphasizes the necessity of a quarterly review.
Yes, so important.
The work doesn't start when the post goes live. You have to treat your content like living assets. I mean, if your case study has data from 2022, the AI is going to find a competitor with data from 2026 and feature them instead.
Naturally.
You have to refresh the statistics, update the examples, and keep the information aggressively accurate.
It really demands a mindset shift. You are no longer just maintaining a blog. You are curating a trusted knowledge base.
So what does this all mean for you, the listener? It means adopting a new mental model for how you share information online. Before you publish, you need to check. Am I answering the core question cleanly and immediately? Do I have original data or a unique perspective that a machine couldn't just invent? Have I labeled my digital pantry so the AI can easily understand it?
Good checklist.
And after you publish, you don't just stare at the traffic counter waiting for clicks. You monitor impressions, you track your brand growth, and you calendar that quarterly review to keep everything fresh.
To recap the core of Credify's guide, We are fully living in a zero-click reality.
Yeah, there's no going back.
The internet has decisively moved past the simple click-to-read model. But fewer clicks do not equal zero opportunity. Success in this 2026 landscape requires hyper-clear formatting, deep, irreplaceable human experience, the technical precision to translate that experience for machines, and an off-platform brand that people actually want to engage with.
You have to be the trusted source, not just the highest-ranking blue link.
Exactly.
It's a higher bar, but honestly, it's a better internet if it forces out all that low-effort spam.
It absolutely is. But, you know, what's fascinating here is that this raises an important question, one that steps just beyond the immediate tactics of the guide.
Oh, where are we going with this?
Well, we know Google's AI is summarizing human content to provide these incredibly helpful zero-click answers. But if the AI becomes so flawlessly efficient at answering everything that websites stop getting traffic entirely, will businesses and creators eventually stop publishing new information?
Wow, because if it takes serious time and money to run that original research or write that case study, but you get zero traffic and no direct financial return for it, the incentive to create disappears entirely.
That's the paradox. If humans stop publishing original experience-led content because the economic model completely breaks, where will the AI get its new answers tomorrow?
It'll just be an echo chamber.
Are we heading toward an informational starvation point where the AI just cannibalizes older and older data? Or will this friction force a completely new, unforeseen way of monetizing knowledge on the internet?
Man, that is a fascinating, slightly terrifying thought to end on. If the overly helpful assistant stops letting anyone talk to the experts, eventually the experts might just stop talking. Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the 2026 search landscape. Keep questioning how you interact with the information ecosystem around you, and we'll catch you on the next one.